Since 2002, Maine artist Robert Shetterly and Americans Who Tell the Truth have created and presented 280 portraits of Americans they describe as models of courageous citizenship. Shetterly's most recent portrait is of Rivera Sun, activist and award-winning author of The Dandelion Insurrection and many other books, whose portrait was unveiled at the Bay School in Blue Hill on May 4th. She was introduced by her dear friend and previous portrait subject, renowned activist, lawyer, and Penobscot Nation member, Sherry Mitchell. We join the introduction in progress with Sherry Mitchell speaking about the importance of Rivera Sun's writing.
If we want to be able to pave a path forward that brings us to the place that we most want to be, we need these stories to exist. We need young people and old people and all of the people in between reading and imagining and believing into those stories. Millions of people across the globe have read those stories. They have become embedded energetically in a very deep feeling sense with those characters. They have brought them to life through their collective energy and visioning over time of those stories. I don't think that what we're learning today is that those people were clairvoyant. I think what we're learning today is that we, as readers of these stories, who are feeling into them, who are collectively holding the vision of them, have the power to create the reality that we are walking into by choosing what we give our attention to. What more powerful message could we be receiving at this time where we feel so powerless? And it gives me incredible hope to know that all of Rivera's stories are now being read and held and collectively felt by young people from across the globe. And so when I hugged her behind the portrait when we were hiding, having our moment a little bit ago, I said, it's about damn time that this is happening. And she said, well, I needed a little bit of time to do what I do. And I said, you've only begun to do what you do. And so this is a moment in a brilliant life that has just beginning to shine that we all get to bear witness to. And so I honor Rob for choosing wisely, and I honor my sister for being such a brilliant light, and may we all be mirrors reflecting that on this day. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is an incredible honor. It moves me really deeply in my soul to be part of this portrait series that is full of 280 portraits who are all my heroes. I mean, talk about something to live up to here. I hope I get that another 100 years, Sherry. So I want to say thank you to start, because so many people have contributed to my journey and to the work that I do. My father, who is an anti-Vietnam peace activist and a local organic grower. My mother, who is here with us today. You can give her a round of applause. Who is an incredible artist in her own right. My sisters who are here, my brothers who are far away, my niece and nephews, you'll hear a little bit about why you can thank them for the Ariara series. All of my readers, and especially the people who have been part of publishing my novels year after year. We do community publishing campaigns, because when we came out with this book, I thought, no publisher is going to be crazy enough to tell this much truth. So people like you supported the books. Actually, some of you were part of the community publishing campaign paid for this. And I really feel that I cannot do what I do without all of you, and that we are an ecosystem. And as Rob knows, there's a lot that goes into painting a portrait, and not all of that is paint. And there's a lot that goes into a life, and not all of that is in one body. So thank you. In November, I had the amazing experience of going to see all 200 and close to 80 paintings hanging in Lewiston all at once. And I walked through the aisles of these waves of portrait, people you know like Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta and Dr. King, who's here today in portrait form. and so many countless others, Mother Jones. And I walked through the exhibit with tears running down my face, my body shaking, because here are the people we can be proud of standing among. This country has a long history, and much of it is brutal and violent and abysmal and unworthy. But all the way along, every chapter of that had been people like Jeanette Rankin or Polly Murray, or Edward Snowden and Kathy Kelly, people who say, this is wrong and I will tell the truth about that, even at the risk of my life, even at the risk of my freedom, even at the risk of everything. And those are the people that we can be honored to stand beside. But Rob didn't just paint them. He did something really extraordinary. He painted them with kind eyes. Look at their portraits. Each one of these wrestled with rage at the system, sorrow, a hefty critique. If you've ever looked at his portrait of Frederick Douglass, that was a man who could scorch the earth with his words and really excoriate the injustices of racism and slavery. And he looks at you with such kind eyes, saying, come, join me. Rob doesn't just paint faces, he paints souls. And he paints the soul of a nation, the soul that is worth redemption. And with it, he paints a simple and revolutionary idea. What does it mean to tell the truth in one's times? What does it mean to tell the truth in our time? One of the things that most people know me for, besides being outspoken and opinionated, and my red hair, that's pretty notorious, is this book, The Dandelion Insurrection. Here's how the very first words. In a time that looms around the corner of today, in a place on the edge of our nation, it is a crime to dissent, a crime to assemble, a crime to stand up for one's life. Despite all this, or perhaps because of it, the Dandelion Insurrection began. It was 13 years ago that I wrote those words. I scribbled them on a scrap of paper that would become the novel about a hidden corporate dictatorship in a slightly fictionalized United States. It was speculative fiction then. But that corner has been rounded. That time is now. That place is here. And we must see ourselves in this story. Like the characters in the books, we must hold resistance meetings in our living rooms. We must plant victory gardens for people and for planet. We must defend our students when they speak out against genocide, and like the characters in the books say, they are not a terrorist. We must stop mass roundups and detentions of migrants or anyone. We must bang our pots and pans until they repeal anything that looks even the remotest possibility like martial law. We must challenge wealth and greed on what we call in the book Greenback Street or Wall Street or Main Street or Capitol Hill or anywhere that it rears its ugly head. We must rise up for democracy, real democracy, of, by, and for the people. And most of all, we must remember our love. The quote that Rob chose to put onto the portrait and immortalize forever, good thing it didn't have any typos, Rob. It's more than I could say for some of my work. When fear is used to control us, love is how we rebel, not courage. Well, that's helpful. Love. Because love is the only force strong enough to get us through what we face. Love is the only force strong enough to prevent the forces of hatred, fear, and greed from occupying our hearts and our minds. And it is vitally important that we do not let them succeed in one special thing. We cannot let them succeed in turning us into them. They want us to be frightened. They want us to be consumed by hate and animosity because they know exactly what to do with that. They crack down, they round it up, they deport it to El Salvador. What they don't know what to do with, what they cannot stop, what they can't handle is our love, solidarity, and vision. So let us not become what we oppose. That's how they win. Instead, let us be what we propose and make our resistance irresistible. Another section in the book. The dandelion insurrection was as small as baking bread in the oven and as large as bringing down dictators. It was practical and metaphorical, symbolic and literal. It was real. It was legend. It grew hope. It spread kindness. It sowed the seeds of resistance in the ground of adversity. In the soil of oppression, in the shadow of fear, in the stranglehold of tyranny, in the death grip of greed, anywhere and everywhere, the concrete of control paved over the goodness of the heart. The dandelion insurrection sprang up in the cracks. We rebel with love because it is unstoppable, because it heals, liberates, and transforms. Because while this administration, no, let's call it a regime, is unworthy of our fear, our vision for humanity and the planet is worthy of our exuberant, undaunted love. So the first line of resistance is in reclaiming your heart. The second line of resistance is a little bit harder. And it requires me to actually be an American who tells the truth. The thing about all these amazing people that Rob has painted is that they didn't just tell the truths that were popular and appealing. They told the truth when everybody hated what they were saying. And when they sometimes very literally shot the messenger. Truth tellers are always more popular in hindsight. So I'm very glad you're all here today thanking me for it. The job of the truth teller is not to say that the emperor looks so handsome in his clothes. It's not even just to say that the emperor has no clothes. It's to ask the question, why do we have an emperor? So the truth that I want to say today about the mess that we find ourselves in is that we each played a part in getting us to today. Some of us went out and voted him into power. Some of us willingly are going along with his orders. Some of us resisted, but not enough. Some of us were so deep in our scorn and our arrogance that we galvanized our friends and neighbors into voting us into the mess that we're in. Some of us were afraid. Some of us were tuned out. Some of us didn't know what to do. This is the kind of painful truth. But it's a painful truth that tells us where our power lies. Because when we're willing to take responsibility for the mess that we're in, we find wherein lies our power to start to change how we got here and where we'll be going. So in this power, we can either stand afraid and powerless. We can say it's just them, it's all their fault. Or we can say, hey, we have a part to play in this, and I'm going to change that part. I'm going to change that story. Here's an example. Every dollar you spend today, tomorrow, and the next day, you're either going to give it to the billionaires who have too much money already and who are using it to abuse us, or you're going to give it to your friends and neighbors to build a different world with it. And you may say, oh, I'm too small to make a difference. I only have a dollar today to shift around. Well, the population of India in 1930 decided to start moving their money around. They took back 18% of the British colonial revenue, and instead of wearing the clothes of their oppressors in the imported fabric, they started wearing their own homespun. Instead of buying their oppressors salt, they walked down to their ocean and they made their own salt, and they kicked the British Empire out. In 1765, when a bunch of American colonists thought that the king was abusing them too much, they stopped buying imported British goods, and they launched the world's most successful boycotts to date. 90 to 98% participation rates in not buying imported British goods. When they refused to pay the fees on the Stamp Act, the British didn't even have enough money to print the stamps. When they built their own government, which is called the Continental Congress, they stopped giving the British crown the authority to decide their fates. And like the Indians, like the early Americans, like the dandelions in my novel, it's time to do this again. We have to stop giving the billionaires our money, stop subscribing to their channels and products and cultures. We need to stop obeying their cruel and illegal orders. We have to reclaim our dollars one at a time if need be. We need to reclaim our time 1 hour if need be. We need to reclaim our power one action at a time. Of all the truths that I've told over the years, this one is the most revolutionary. Nonviolence works. In 2011, a pair of researchers named Erica Chenoweth and Maria Stephan proved, beyond a doubt, that not only was nonviolent action working, it was working twice as often in a third of the amount of time with a fraction of the casualties. When I heard that, I looked around at all the books churning out teen assassins and sword-swinging heroes and Star Wars, and I said, hold the presses. What are we doing? In our literature, in our movies, we're literally teaching people outdated technologies. Two times as fast, a third of the amount of time, fraction of the casualties. This is what we should be telling heroic stories about. I looked over at my nephew and my nephew and my niece. They were a lot younger then. This was back in 2015 or so. They were smaller, but definitely not cuter. So I thought, what are they going to read when they start reading The Hunger Games, when they get old enough for that? When they start looking at that YA shelf and all of a sudden it's zombies and vampires and dystopian worlds. So I set out to write a story in which we replace the typical war and violence of fantasy with active nonviolence, boycotts, strikes, sit-ins, protests, marches, rallies, occupations, blockades, civil disobedience. I wanted to know, would it work to tell a compelling story in a fantasy world without all that war and violence? So raise your hand if you've read an Ari Aara book. Okay, let me know. Did it work?
It worked!
All right, glad to hear that. Phew, for a minute there, I wasn't sure what you'd say. I looked around the world and I saw that the heroes aren't the ones who fight wars, they're the ones who stop wars. They're people like the Women of Liberia Mass Action for Peace that stopped the Second Liberian Civil War. People like Mairead Maguire and the Community of Peace People that stopped the Troubles in Northern Ireland. People like Samantha Smith, who is from Maine, who helped to end the Cold War. The heroes of today use nonviolent action, and they use it powerfully. They're toppling dictators and authoritarians in the Philippines, South Korea, Serbia, Chile, Malawi, Pakistan, Guatemala, Sudan, Thailand, Bangladesh, Nepal, Mali, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Mongolia, Peru, Lebanon, Tunisia, Georgia, Liberia, and beyond. Yeah. My work, from writing novels to editing nonviolence news to teachings and trainings to organizing to public speaking, is about uplifting these stories. And our work is to live these stories in our own time. If they can stop injustice with nonviolent action, so can we. If they can stop wars, so can we. If they can oust dictators, so can we. Pauli Murray, who's over there in portrait form, said, "One person plus one typewriter constitutes a movement." As a queer black radical feminist, she reminded us of something that Gandhi said, that even if you are a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. In nonviolence, we know that the truth is a force that will set us free, and has many times before. Gandhi called this force satyagraha, another word for nonviolence, clinging to the truth, holding fast to it. And along with Dr. King, Cesar Chavez, and so many of Rob's portrait subjects, they have proved that nonviolence is a force that rattles the foundations of empire, that shatters the chains of oppression, liberates and empowers people, and changes everything. So with protests, rallies, marches, boycotts, strikes, and so on, we tell the truth about the problems. We tell the truth about how we're going to make this change. And we tell one more big, bold, beautiful truth: that humanity is worth the struggle. As Walt Whitman, a gay man who was never allowed to be truthful about his sexuality in his own time, so beautifully did in Song of Myself, it is our sacred task to love the full breadth of our humanity in all its diversity, brilliance, and beauty. It's the truth teller's job not only to decry injustice, but to sing the body politic and lift up the extraordinary vision of the world that we seek. A world worthy of the extraordinary beauty of who we are. A world where all beings are seen as equal, are protected and respected, and fully welcomed in the societies that we build together. It is no accident that the Dandelion Insurrection closes with lines that speak to this body politic, this poetic body politic. Charlie looked at all the people, the millions of faces in this ocean. The tide of history ebbed and flowed through their bodies. Breath swelled in his chest. Love rippled, surged, and crested, and a thought crashed through him like a wave. We are one people, indivisible, not by allegiance or by force, but entwined through the love in our hearts. Through our pulse and our breath and our frail human skins, the body of the people stands immortal. We rise and we fall, we sweep by in waves of faces, we roll in the rushing tide of life. We are foolish, we are proud, we are loving, we are tired. We weep for beauty, laugh in sorrow, cry out lonely in the night. We hurt and cause harm. We are lovers and beloveds. We shall live, we shall die, we shall pass and still remain, for the body of the people lives forever. I look at these Americans Who Tell the Truth portrait series, and I see the lineage to which we all belong, these imperfect human beings who stood up in their time to wrest a better world out of the wreckage they inherited. And it is now our turn. We stand on their shoulders, gifted by the long, hard work that they have done. It is our turn to let truth roar through our throats. It is our turn to let truth walk in our bodies. It is our turn to let truth sing through our actions. It is our turn to live our lives as if our paintings already hung in this series. We stand in a lineage of people and countless others who came before us. These are the laborers who went on strike in the mills, the African Americans who sat in at the lunch counters, the conscientious objectors to the Vietnam War, the silent sentinels outside the White House, the artists and the writers, the whistleblowers and truth tellers. Their eyes are watching us now. And remember, Rob has immortalized those eyes with such kindness and understanding. They have stood where we stand now. Come, they say. The journey has been long. The promised land may still be far off, but we are marching with you, and we will get there together. Nothing can stop us. It is as inevitable as dandelions in the spring. So remember your courage, remember your love, and as we say in the Dandelion Insurrection, remember to be kind, be connected, and be unafraid. Thank you.
We've been listening to author and activist Rivera Sun speaking in Blue Hill, Maine on May 4, 2025. You can share this experience with others and listen again for yourself at weru.org. This program was recorded and produced by WERU's Matt Murphy. Thank you for listening.